Terrible trick.
Works every time.
But it works. All right, I want to talk just a few moments about 6 and 7, then I want to do another breakout group and talk in your groups, talk about it, and then come back together, and then we'll have free time for the last whatever time we have left. 6 and 7. By the way, in page 12 of your handouts, you see a bunch of promises, some of the promises from the big book. And you notice there are step 5 promises, if you look carefully in the big book.
There's step 1 promise.
Yes, step 5 promises. Once we have taken this step, page 75 of the big book, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears will fall from us. We can begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem, food problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. All right. 6 and 7. I've identified and validated in 4 and 5. This is it. I'm coming out of step 5, hopefully, with a list of the key things that need changing. Somebody was talking to me about this. One way of doing this, the way I do it, and when I take 5 steps, is that we go through and we talk about a lot of different things. And as we go through, let's say we're talking about resentment, I ask the person to, all right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big a problem do you think this is for you? Resentment. And the person, you know, with 10 being, it totally consumes me. 1 being of no significance. And so they say, okay, well, this is a biggie. This is a 7 or an 8. Okay. And then we go, we talk about something else. Now we're talking about fear. Okay. When we finish talking about fear and what they've written down, we say, well, all right, I say, how big a problem do you feel that this is to you on a scale of 1 to 10? And the person will make a judgment. I'm not making the judgment, although if they tell me something that's totally off, I'm saying, are you sure about that? But they'll say, okay, this is a fear. This is a 9. Okay, and then we go on. Now, what happens when we finish? What do we have? We have a ranked list. Right? Simple little technique. And who's ranked them? The person has ranked them. Himself or herself. And so you now have the list to go to the 6th and 7th step. Right? So how can you do a 6th and 7th step if you don't know what it is that you're trying to change? If you're just blindly saying, okay, became willing to have God remove all these defects of character, humbly ask Him to remove my shortcomings, well, that's very nice. What specifically is it that you're trying to do? I think that if that's all you do, fine, that works for you. But just praying to be a better person does not work for me. I had to get much more specific. Because I believe that my life is a co-creation with God. I believe God has given me the power to make choices and take actions. And I also believe in my scheme of things, just based upon my experience, that I cannot abdicate my responsibility to God. Because there seems to be, in my experience, a lot of parts of my life where it's me that needs to do something, not God. So the way I say that ultimately is, it seems to me that God is not going to do for me what I need to do for myself. And so I believe that I have a big role in steps 6 and 7. And this is what sometimes sets me apart from some of the big book purists who say, no, it's just 1 paragraph each, ask God, period. Well, it doesn't work for me. I believe I've got a role. My role, and so the way I like to look at it is, okay, what's my role? Well, I've defined the problem, right? I've defined the defect, if you want to call it defect, F-E. Well, that's very interesting. Spelling is a deep, whatever.
Deficit?
All right, deficit.
That's not the end of it.
All right, we've got a list. Now, I also believe you cannot work on everything at once, and change is hard. It's a slow process. So if we have a list of, I don't know, let's say 12 things that we come out of the 4th step with, and they're ranked, I'm almost always going to suggest that let's work on three, maybe four. Let's work on those things. So we end up, we've got defects. And then we say, all right, what's the antidote? What's the solution? What's the opposite of these things? What's the opposite of fear? You know, it's courage or faith or whatever. But I ask people to get into real specifics as this applies to their life, to their everyday life. And you see some examples in your handout on page 11. Okay, what I'm talking about here. Okay, so at the bottom of the page, little chart, shortcoming, controlling, or self-centeredness, self-centeredness being defined. The shorthand for self-centeredness is my way, right? In case you don't know what self-centeredness means, it means my way. That's what I'm ultimately trying to do, is get my way. My way, my way, my way. Selfish, 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 self-centered, self-centered. Trying to arrange life to suit me, imposing shoulds and oughts and must on others. So, what are the solutions? Well, again, shorthand here for some of the things. Live and let live. I'm not in charge. I'm not God. Close my mouth. Let God be God. Surrender to the natural order of things. So, these are generic solutions. What I ask people to do is, all right, in your life, you have very specific things where this my way stuff is in the way. Right, my way with my spouse, with my boss, with those other people, whatever. I'm in conflict with these people. Who am I trying to control? Who am I trying to, who am I putting these expectations on, the shoulds and oughts? Because that's just another way of saying I'm imposing expectations on them, right? Back to the stage director in the big book. I'm imposing expectations on these people with the best of intentions. I'm not out to hurt anybody. I just know if they did it my way, everybody would be happy. That's the stage director in the big book. And, of course, that sets me up for conflict, for frustration. So that's what I'm talking about. That's the shortcoming. Now, I ask people to get very, 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 very specific. In your life, where this is an issue, list down here exactly the new behaviors. What is it that you're going to do? If you tell your spouse every day to pick up his whatever, and that's always a problem, then you're going to say, I'm going to shut my mouth and not do that. If you complete his sentences, and he's resentful at that, you're going to write down, I'm going to stop completing his sentences. If in the workplace you have stuff like that, where you have expectations on others, and you know it's a problem, specifically write down. So what you come out with is, for this particular problem, let's say controlling, imposing shoulds and oughts, a list of new behaviors that you're going to practice. It's God that changes us, but we're responsible to show God that we're truly willing to be changed. It's like the whole step process opens me up to the healing grace of God. But I have to do the footwork. I have to put myself in a position to receive the miracles. I believe in the same way that I have to practice the new behaviors to show God that I'm truly willing to change. So what we got here in this step, this 6 and 7, the way I work it, is basically the best of spiritual approach and cognitive therapy. Because cognitive therapy is about practicing the solution, forming new habits and practicing them. And that's what I'm talking about here. It's all it is. But we have an added advantage here, is that we have the spirit that we're asking to give us the strength to do these things. So, on this philosophy, let me read a couple of things to you. My job, God can't help me remove my character defects if I keep practicing them. Right? In the same way that God doesn't do food plans. God never shopped for me. God never cooked anything for me. It's up to me. That's my part. What God will do is give me the willingness, help me with the courage to do it. Help me ask somebody for help. Help me say, will you sponsor me? Will you help me? God will give me the courage to do that. But then I got to do the rest of the work. I got to do the footwork. This is the footwork part here. My job is to identify the wrong thinking and behaviors, then identify what is the right thinking or behavior, and then to practice the new thinking and behaving. That way I show God I'm truly willing to be changed, and eventually, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, He transforms the personality. Remember, personality change equals spiritual awakening. That's what this is all about. It's about changing those things in my personality that need changing. I do not simply surrender to God, asking Him to change me as He would. For me, that's abdicating my responsibility. I am accountable. God has given me free will to make decisions. I ask God for help and direction, but I'm accountable for the decisions and choices that I make. In the end, it's me that chooses. I cannot get to the God as puppet puller, pull all the strings, that no matter what happens, it's God's will. I've never been able to get to that, even though that's the second sentence in 449 and 417 in the big book that says whatever happens is supposed to happen, etc. I can't quite get to that one. Asking and surrendering are not the same as giving up accountability and choice. I have to take the action just like I had to do with the plan of eating. God doesn't do food plans, but He'll give me the strength to make one and follow it. So, the point of all this, I learn to walk by walking. I learn to swim by swimming. I learn to stop overeating by stopping overeating. I learn to work the program by working the program. I learn to be a different person by being a different person. So I act my way into right thinking, not think my way into right acting. I talked before, remember, about the insights are great, but unless I do something about them, they're of no avail. I live myself into better thinking instead of thinking myself into better living. So my part in step 6 and 7 is practicing living in the solution. And how many times does it talk about it in the big book and elsewhere about focus on the solution, not the problem? Right? Again, in the acceptance story, it says, if we focus on what's good, we have a good day. If we focus on what's bad, we have a bad day. If I focus on the problem increases. If I focus on the solution increases. So that's what I'm saying here. Let's focus on the solution. Practice the solution. And you know what happens when you act as if long enough? We show God that we're there, that we're willing, and we change. We eventually form new habits. So instead of saying, God, take away the intolerance, say, God, help me to live in tolerance today. Instead of resentment, say, God, help me to live in forgiveness and acceptance today. Instead of judging, say, God, help me to live in a spirit of acceptance, living and let living. Instead of criticizing, look for the good, listen for the good, feel for the good. Right? Don't listen to what he says, she says. Look what's going on. In there is something going on. Look for the good, feel for the good. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could communicate heart to heart instead of through words? Because our hearts are mostly good. But we get messed up in our heads and all this stuff. So I'm saying, let's try to look at people as spiritual beings and communicate spirit to spirit. It makes a whole difference. You look at people differently. You listen to people differently when you're trying to listen to their spirit rather than their words. Yes?
Thank you, God. This is really helping me to hear about this. I'm actually on the fourth step myself, and I'm getting a whole new way of how I'm going to proceed here, and I really appreciate this. My question is, just to give a little example, if you don't mind, on how when you listed in the paper for yourself, if you care to share, a behavior that was and then is now, and how you proceeded in.
I had some firm examples. Let's see if I have them. I think they're in the other book. But I was very specific about what I will do this, I will not do that, etc. So I got right down to the specifics of overworking, for example. I just got very clear, all right. I will go to work at the time I have to go to work to catch the bus or the train or the whatever it is, but I do not have to stay 2 hours late every night. I will start taking the earlier train. Or, all right, back to the wife and the kids and the resentments and all that kind of stuff. All right, I will make sure that I attend X event. I will make sure that I talk to the kids, that I get home in time to talk to the kids. All right, I will not work all day Saturday. I will go to the band concert. I will go to the soccer game. I had to get that specific.
What did you notice in your life happened when you did that? What was
they reacted differently.
Okay.
Right. And I felt better. I felt better. I felt better about myself. Right? That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
There first, and then Betty. Yes?
I just wanted to call it, I really like what you said on talking, imagine that another person is a spirit, so that you can talk soul to soul. And sometimes it's really hard to do this in the corporate world where everything...
Of course.
One thing that helps me also is to think that the person has a divine essence as I do. And so put things in perspective. So I'm constantly telling myself that even the person that I really hate and is trying to, okay, he also has, or she, divine essence. What can I learn from this situation?
Right. But I have seen over and over many times some people who appeared to be hard-ass, angry, whatever. When you're honest, forthright, and share from the heart, they melt.
Yeah.
They melt. But not always. Right? There's some plain old hard ass, angry. So, but we work, yes, SOBs. But, you know, I work in the realm of more often than nots. There is no perfection. There is no black and white. The best I can do is more often than not, good begets good. More often than not, people will do the right thing. But not always. There's evil in the world. The world is full of good. It's full of evil. I'd rather focus on the good than walk around like my mother, who focuses on the evil. She watches the TV all day, and then when I see her, she just tells me, recaps all the bad stuff that happened to everybody all day long. That's the way she thinks.
Is it happynews.com?
That's on the computer, not the TV. This is a 91-year-old mother.
You're right.
She barely knows how to do the remote. She doesn't know how to change the batteries. Buddy.
When you're working with a sponsee about which defect to be working on, do you necessarily start with the ones at the top of the
list? Yes, usually. After all, that's the most important. And how do we know? Life may come to an end tomorrow. Right? What's that old line about? Don't worry about the world coming to an end tomorrow because... it's already tomorrow in Australia. I told you bad jokes. I warned you. All right. I want to wrap this up, and then I want to do you guys to do a little group for about a half an hour, talk about this stuff. This is hard stuff, but it's really where the action is. This whole weekend, this is where, if you really can grasp this, that you're in charge of your life and you're in charge of changing yourself. You've got a fellowship to help you. You've got a process to help you. You've got sponsors. You've got people to help. But ultimately, you're in charge of your recovery. And part of it is the emotional and the spiritual. And here's the guts of the whole thing. You identify what are the things that don't work so well, and you set out, identify the solutions and set out practice them. Now, I want to read a couple short stories, metaphors, fables that make the point about acting as if, because that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to define the new behavior and then act as if. Do it. You may have heard this one about the two wolves, good and evil. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It's anger, envy, jealousy, arrogance, resentment, dishonesty. The other is good. It is love, hope, humility, kindness, compassion, empathy, honesty, generosity." The grandson thought about it for a little while, and then he asked his grandfather, "Grandfather, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Right? The one you feed. If you feed the evil wolf inside of you, it's going to just stay evil. So I'm asking you to define the good and feed the good. Feed the good wolf inside of you. Okay? Another story. A little longer. A little crazier. But it's one that's been with me for a very, very long time. Some of you may have heard it. It's an old Chinese fable, an ancient Chinese tale called The Criminal and the Princess. Once upon a time in a very old Chinese kingdom, there was a princess in search of a husband. She wanted to marry the man with the most handsome face in the land, one that radiated honesty, generosity, kindness, patience, and gentleness. Hearing about this royal quest, a criminal with an ugly face that reflected his cruelty and dishonesty and hatred schemed to deceive the princess into choosing him for a husband. He commissioned an artist to make him an extraordinarily handsome mask, and wearing it, he appeared before the princess. Putting on an amazing performance, he managed to fool her completely. So she made up her mind to marry him. The engagement was announced, and the wedding date set for 1 year hence. 1 year hence. For a whole year, the criminal had to wear his mask and play the part of the princess's fiancé. At first, it was very uncomfortable for him to act kind and generous and to be honest, patient, and gentle. But little by little, he began to behave in this manner, out of habit. As the wedding date drew near, the criminal realized his deceit would soon be discovered. He decided he had to be honest with the princess, and so he told her the whole story. Furious, she banished him from the palace. But first, she said, "Take off your mask so I can see your face." He knelt humbly before her and removed the handsome mask. The princess was astonished. "Why," she asked, "did you go to all that trouble to have a mask made that looks exactly like your own face?" The criminal, in fact, had become the kindly man that he had practiced being. He became that which he acted. He acted as if, and he became that. In the same manner, I can change my negative personality traits to positive ones. I was dishonest, so I practiced telling the truth. This is true. This is me, by the way. And I became an honest person. I was impatient and self-pitying, so I practiced patience and acceptance, and in the process, I grew up. I was fearful, so I practiced putting my faith and trust in God, and my fear was removed. The more I act as if, the more I am changing from within to truly become the kind of person I'm practicing being. So that's what I'm saying is my part in 6 and 7. Define what it is that you need to be and go practice. No skill, no drill. No drill, no skill. No drill, no skill, as they say in the school, right? No drill, no skill. Over and over and over. Repeat it. And you become that. And as we said, you begin to feel better about yourself. And it's amazing how other people begin to react better. Any questions on the concept?
Did the princess and the guy get married and live happily
ever after? Beats me.
Yes.
Everybody wants to say yes.
No.
All right. It's 3:10. I want to do a 30-minute session back into your sessions and then come back here for just a few minutes of sharing and then we'll break for the day. 30 minutes. So this is a shorter one, but remember we started late, but I still want you to get together in your groups again and talk a little bit about this. Try not to just focus on the princess, but focus on what it is. And here's the question I want you to look at. What toxic idea, behavior, or attitude do I need to leave behind? What toxic behavior, belief, attitude? You know what I'm talking about, defect. What is it that I really do need to leave behind? Subpart. What am I gaining by holding on to it? What am I gaining by holding on to it? All right, I will see you back in this room at 15 minutes till 4. All right? 15 minutes till 4. Remember, bad jokes, really bad jokes. Then we will talk about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll break for the day until dinner.
We're meeting after dinner.
Yes. No, yes, tonight we do on 8 and 9.
Okay, but everybody knew it.